I came in, I basically, it was very low. I was only 10 years old, and I was able to scoot right up on it, so it couldn't have been as high as an office desk. It was pretty small. It was a little whitish silver. I felt differently. You talk about feelings a lot, and I felt very differently here. I was very scared. There was no calm at this point. There was no, it was going to be okay at this point. I was very scared. And I would, when this individual turned at this, I guess it was like a, more of an insect-looking thing, if I were to put it into a category, had turned towards me and had referenced or made a gesture to this individual at the bottom of this table I was on, I felt it was coming to me because it when it turned, and there were two pockets. This room had a cylinder, roundish cylinder to it, and they were in this left corner pocket of this cylinder, and off to the right corner corner of this room, and the cylinder was opening. I thought I could go out. So I jumped off this thing, and I shot out to the right side of this cylinder and wall, and I stumbled into this huge intersecting hallway. It was almost like a basketball court with huge hallways where you could drive a bus down them. It was huge. And so I didn't know where to go. Moments later, I was taken back. This time I was placed on the table, and this what looked like a tanning bed top lowered over me. It had sides on it that went on each side of me. It had a large area in front where there would be room to move underneath it. It had oval or round shaped holes on the sides of it. And at that point, it lowered. I thought it was there to keep me from running again, which I would think would make sense. And through these holes on these sides, these individuals, these figures that were at the end of my bed, had taken these rocks, these roundish black rocks, and a little bigger than marble, and they had a whitish pad on them. And one was placed on my leg, one was placed on my side, or chest area, and one on my face, my mouth. And I went out. And then I was taken back to, apparently, maybe half an hour later, taken back to this holding area. But what's interesting about that is that's one of the few things that Travis had mentioned happened to him. So I just want to know if you've ever heard of anyone else having anything like that, because I don't really talk to
anybody. How about that, Elaine? Have you heard of anything about that?
Is it the technology that was employed there that is it the feeling tone, the purpose of the experience, or the technology? What? Tell me what is significant about that for you.
Well, I think that the fact we had these stones, they weren't perfectly round. They didn't look like a marble. Just like a marble-sized stone that was on a pad. And the only person I've ever found that had anything happen to him like that was Travis. And this thing that came out of the topper above me that lowered down this huge cover. I just never had anyone reference anything similar to that, and I was just curious since, you know, this is something that maybe you know more about than I do.
So you're wondering about the technology that was employed?
Would I like to know about it?
Yeah, that's what you're wondering about, right?
I'm wondering if you've ever heard of that happening with anyone else.
Description of a technology that was used there, no, I have not heard that exact description. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
okay.
Most people, if you dig down into their cases, will tell you something unique about and something inexplicable about the equipment, or some other feature of the abduction that is unique. And I understand how you want to find a reference point. You're hoping to find another case where that same equipment was used, because it will be reassuring to you that you know, and I understand that. And I wish I could provide you with that confirmation.
Okay, we have somebody in the chat room wanted to know if what you both are saying is there's a biological link between abductees. In other words, I think we pretty well covered that, and I believe that I think bloodlines, it seems to follow those. Both of you agree to that?
You mean that it's familial and generational?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that. I also believe that there's some connection with the Rh negative factor, and I also believe they're extracting hormones. When my brother, the wounds that my brother had on his chest, and I don't know if Elaine's heard this either, but there were two puncture wounds on my brother's, over my brother's gland that produces the immune system in his chest, just opposite the thyroid gland. It's on actually the side of the heart. And then there were two puncture holes behind the ear, which is the pea-sized gland that carries that immune system to the brain. And there were two marks there. So they were definitely extracting something from us. And there's a medical report about it, too, as well. So I believe it's biological, and I believe we're probably part of them.
Hi, Jerry. Steve Jones.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. Doing very well, thank you.
We've been talking about the bad parts of ET abductions. You feel just the opposite, I understand. You've had, what, over 50 years of experiences? Why don't you tell our audience a little bit your take on all this?
Okay, if I can fit 50 years into the next few minutes, I will. My
that's radio for you. We're sorry.
Yeah, that's it. My experiences started when I was 5 years old. That is nearly 50 years ago. And from the ages of 5 to 12, my experiences were wonderful. They were an exciting thing that I used to look forward to. It was just a very, very normal part of my life, just like watching the TV or playing football with my friend. It was just something that happened. And then when I was 12, my perspective on the world changed because my mother left the family home. And when she left, she took my trust in the world with her. So the way that I viewed the world and the way that I viewed my contact experiences changed, because now I know my contact experiences didn't change, only how I perceived them. So from the age of 12...
Now, before we go any further, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure the audience understands all this started in England, right?
That's right, in England. I'm over in America.
Okay, and then going ahead about your contact stuff...
Okay.
I'm very curious, because you really, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you really feel that they're here to help us.
Well, it's not so much that I think that they're here to help us, but I think that ET contact can be a positive thing. I think it's what we make it, Jerry. I personally think that not totally, but for the majority of contact experiences, they are the same. Now, depending on who you are as a human being, you will perceive them differently. So if you've had a very strict religious upbringing, you might perceive ETs as devils or as a bad thing. Now, I have no religious background, but what I've learned over the last few years, about the last 10 years, is that the ET contact is how I perceive it to be. So I have changed. Throughout the years, the contact didn't change, but I was fearful of it from the age of 12 till, about 10 years ago. But what I've discovered, that ET contact is not about them. ET contact is us. It is about us. It's a trigger. It's a trigger in our evolution to start looking at ourselves. ET contact can be whatever we want it to be. And I have decided, I'm not religious, I'm not new agey or anything like that. I'm just a normal run-of-the-mill guy. And I've allowed the ET contact experience to awaken me. I've decided that it's going to help me to become aware of my role as a human being. It's enabling me to become conscious. It's enabling me to start taking responsibility for my words and my actions in my day-to-day life, and that's what I've written about in my book. And ultimately,
yeah, let's talk about that book for a minute. It's available at Amazon.
Yes, it's available at Amazon. It's called An Invitation to the Dance. And that's pretty much what ET contact has issued us. It's issued the human race with an invitation to the dance of life. And it is 2012 and everything that surrounds that, what it is, it's about us. It's about the human race beginning to wake up from the long sleep. The long sleep that was the age of Pisces. We come out of that, we go into the age of Aquarius, and we are waking up. When I was here in America earlier on this year for 4 months talking about my book at conferences, I was saying to everybody that the awakening is coming, and I didn't realize that it would arrive so soon. But what is happening down in Wall Street at the moment is a symbol. Wall Street is not a protest about money. It's just a platform for human beings to stand on and to say, we are not going to take the nonsense anymore. We are responsible human beings, and we want to say how our life is going to be. ET Contact is, in a nutshell, it's a love story. It's as simple as that, Jerry. It's a love story. And we are finding something in our hearts and through the awakening of our consciousness that we are so much more than we have been up until this point. And my book is about my ET contact. You know, it's that story, but there's so much more in my book, because there's so many books out there about ET contact, so I didn't want to write one just about that. My book is, as I say, it's a trigger, it's a wake-up call, it's an alarm call. It means that every single one of us, currently we believe we are just grains of sand, but as we come together, we become a beach, and we are a conscious awakening. And people talk about 2012 being a time of tragedy, of something to be scared of, but it's not. It is the end of life as we know it, but it is the beginning of something extremely wonderful. And I, for one, am so grateful that I have been born at this time, that I can be a part of it. The people that I've spoken to throughout this year are people not in the UFO community, because that's like preaching to the choir. My book is meant to be read by people that maybe have no knowledge of the UFO subject, because, as I say, the UFO phenomenon is not about little grey aliens, it's not about flying saucers, it's not about lights in the sky. And on that note, I think it's really important now that people start pushing this forward. You know, I hear a lot of callers talking about lights in the sky. This, and they talk about it as if it's the day after Roswell, and it is not. It is 2011, and we have to move this forward progressively. We have to move it forward. It belongs to us. Disclosure is never going to come from the powers that would be. The disclosure will come from human beings, because we've been living this life. People like myself, we've been living this life, and ET contact is something that goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and
I understand what you're saying. It goes back, and we've been dealing with this for some time. You're going to be up at Taos at the symposium, I understand this lecture you're going to give up there is the last on this subject. You're kind of moving to a different direction. Is that right, or did I get the wrong information?
No, that's pretty much it, Jerry. When I was talking, I spent 4 months of this year talking at conferences right across America, and the majority of the talk was fine detail of my contact experiences. I told the story of what happened, and then I would close my talk on something else, something much greater, something what contact actually really means. So on that note, I have received new information from the ETs that I will speak about on Saturday the 29th. Now, 2 days before, on Thursday the 27th, I will speak about my ET contacts, probably for one of the last times in detail, because there is something far more important to be talking about and discussing and sharing. And on Saturday the 29th, I will spend the whole of my lecture on that day speaking about all these new things. I will be speaking about 2012. I'll be speaking about Elenine, what it really is. I'll be speaking about Vesta. I'll be speaking about a whole new group of things that are really, really important, much more important than little lights in the sky.
Now, people can go over there to that website and check it out and find out when you're speaking and make reservations or whatever. So the Calchino Lodge in Taos. We're almost out of time, but I want to just be clear about this. You feel that this has been a life-changing experience for you, and it's a wake-up call, and that's the ET mission? Is that what you feel?
I would say that, in a nutshell, that what I have got out of my ET contact is that I have let go of my fear, and I have not just let go of my fear of the ET contact, I've let go of my fear about life in general. I spent most of my life waking up with a knot in my stomach, and I believe I was made to feel like that. I was made to feel like that by the fear mongers, by the media, by the press. We are much easier to manage when we are scared, Jerry, and I ain't scared no more. And ET contact can enable everybody to stop being scared, to take responsibility for their lives and go out there and make our life experience something very, very positive, very constructive. And that's what I'll be speaking about at Taos.
Hey, thank you very much, Stephen, for being on. The time is almost up here. We appreciate you calling in and your perspective on it. And we'll see you in Taos.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Jerry.
Okay. And Thomas, are you still there? I know Elaine is. Elaine?
Yes.
Travis is here. Well, Jerry, I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Is this Travis?
It is.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
We're talking a little bit. You're going to be up in Taos too. I was just talking to Stephen Jones, and you're going to be doing something a little different up there. You have a little get-together, a little... why don't you tell our audience what you're planning on doing there? I think it's very interesting.
Just give a little bit of a workshop on more of my more recent interpretations. It's a, kind of follow along a little bit some of the things that your previous guest was talking about there.
So people, I think that it's a three-hour affair, and they can find out about that information on the symposium website. It's aspysymposium.com. You've had a little bit of a transformation over the years. We've been talking off and on for a long, long time, from Fire in the Sky to the recent times. You've become very interested in other people's ideas, I know, Travis, about their abduction experiences, and it runs the gamut.
I used to just kind of shut it out because I had enough just trying to deal with my own experience. But it's time to kind of look around and see what the bigger picture is, and interpreting my own experience over time, I've come to, what happened, but the way I interpret it is kind of evolved a bit, I think I've come to understand it a little better.
Well, what is your opinion about how the ZTs dealt with you? Has it changed? Originally you thought they were evil incarnate, I think.
Well, not exactly, but I was, at the moment it was happening, I was, extremely terrified, and, it came off as completely negative at the time. But I've come to understand that that had more to do with the circumstances that I found myself in. I'm regaining consciousness in a lot of pain. I'm having trouble breathing. The suffocating feeling was really adding to the panic. I was in a very claustrophobic, dimly lit room, having a lot of trouble breathing. So combine that with the pain and all that, suddenly seeing these creatures that, under those conditions, just kind of set me off as being, a negative experience. And I don't really know that, they set it up that way or planned it that way at all. I would think that it was just more of a circumstance. I'm thinking that the reason I regained consciousness at all was because they were unable to maintain control over me telepathically because of injury that I received by being struck by this energy from the being. And that kind of scrambled my neural circuits that to the point where they couldn't maintain their control. And then when they came around towards me and there was that point in time in which they were staring at me, all three of them, in this very intense way that I found so troubling, and the reason, you know, it became part of my nightmares was I think now that perhaps they were trying to reassert control by all three of them doing this at the same time,
yeah.
And it wasn't working because I was, you know, getting ready to make some defensive, offensive moves, and they just suddenly split, you know, which, you know, was probably because they...
Yeah, Travis, I wish we had more time to talk. This is really great that you called in, and we'll see you in Taos, and I know... don't you have some outtakes or something from Fire in the Sky you're going to show?
We're going to show the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. People need to check all that out, and appreciate you calling in, and thanks very much. We'll talk to you later. Elaine Douglas, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
We only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So it's your floor.
Well,
the microphone is yours.
The British doll, I found him very interesting. One of the postures that the aliens assume, in fact, it's a central posture of theirs, is we're okay, you're not okay. Meaning we, the alien in front of you and the alien civilization that is represented here, we're okay and you're not okay. And this this message is delivered relentlessly by the aliens to the abductees, to many abductees, throughout their conditioning process. And it generally, where it ends up is it feeds off of guilt. I was talking earlier about Jim Sparks, and I was showing you how they seduced him by his own narcissism. And I found that the emotions, if you're prone to either guilt or narcissism, you're very vulnerable to the aliens. If they can persuade you to take your attention off of what they're doing, what they may represent, and start thinking about yourself and the human race and whether we're okay or not okay, or whether we're a bad people or not bad people, they will, because they like you in that posture where you are very concerned about yourself and your own adequacy, and you feel guilty about the sins and crimes of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
Well, we're out of time, Elaine Douglas. We recommend people to contact you. You will have we have information about you on our website, and people need to get that magazine when it comes out next time, and we'll have to do another show. And folks, we are out of time, and we had lots of calls we didn't get to. We'll have to try it again sometime. Elaine Douglas, I appreciate you being on.
Entirely my pleasure.
I don't know if Thomas Reed is still there. If he is, Thomas, thanks for being on. Hey, thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you later. I'm Jerry Pippin, and this has been our Abduction Special.